now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
It's the Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper and Drew Farmer from the Stolen Idols joins me on the show this week. Got some great stories on 60s decorating and some things that we might have forgotten from the past that are probably worth reigniting. And I'll share a blog that I recently wrote about modern life and how to live better and enjoy life more. Right now, Charlie Hayden and Angel Face on the Cocktail Nation.
Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
It's late, I'm gone. Dark before the dawn, heavy eyes beating hard. of mine. I drive alone, quarter still unknown, every breath like a measure of time. Silent still in the shade of the moon. Impatient flight. Am I losing sight? Starless sky, dark beyond the deepest blue. Too late to turn. Promises to burn. Time stands still as you open the door.
Day,
요 보루밤 베리를 위야 서두발 대야 대야
The Cocktailnation with Janice Baller Group there and Midnight Voyage, all thanks to ultraswank.net. Drew Farmer from the Stolen Idols joins me on the show this week. Drew, I love your brand new album, Moonlight Offerings. It's an album that I've actually had in my car for several weeks, listening to it over and over and over again, and just really getting into it each time I play it. It's like I like it more and more each time I hear it.
That, well, it's interesting that you say that, because I often had the same feeling when I listened to Exotica records, and I guess maybe without being specifically conscious of that, in doing our own music, I suppose that because of some of the subtleties with Exotica, that would also come through on our record. So that's good to hear. Hopefully it's at least as good on repeated listenings, if not a little bit better. So
you know, it's funny. I think it's because of the multi layers that go into Exotica. There are just so many things that you'll actually notice something different every time that you listen to it, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtle things with the percussion. A lot of our arrangements, there's interplay between the vibes and the piano, and we'll kind of switch off, you know, different motifs and things. So yeah, there's a lot. And the other thing that I really try to go for on this album is that, you know, within Exotica, there's different ways that you can approach it. And I really tried to present a range of, you know, what I would consider Exotica. And I was hoping to make an album where, you know, sort of the whole would be greater than the sum of the parts. So that's what I was going for.
Let's go back to the very start of the band, of the Stolen Idols. It was about back in 2008, I think, is when I first heard of you guys.
Yeah, and boy, that's been a while ago, because I remembered we talked shortly after we started playing. Yeah. But we started playing in 2008, and by 2009, 2010, we were playing, we played the Huki Lau, which is of course, a big tiki festival that happens in the U.S. in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we were mostly playing around town. Other than some rough quality demos, this is our first real release. Part of the reason for that was there was a period after the initial group. The initial lineup was together for about 2 years, and then a few people moved and some people came and went. And so it was a while before we had a stable lineup that I was really happy with to record. So I ended up putting that group together, which actually ended up including some of the people who were with us at first. And then a lot of that group is now once again playing with us again. So yeah. What's been nice about this group is that there's kind of an extended Stolen Idols family, so there's always people I can call on if somebody can't make a gig or if somebody's out of town or something.
That's important.
So,
actually, I read somewhere that you found a few of your band members on Craigslist. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because when I was younger and I would try to put groups together through ads, it never, ever worked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put out this Craigslist ad just kind of on a lark to see who was around. I'd lived in this area for a long time when I was younger, but I'd been away in the Northeast for many years. So when I'd come back, I didn't really know a whole lot of musicians. So I thought, well, let's just see who's out there, see if there's anybody that knows this music. And the group ended up being put together through Craigslist. And then from there, once we were playing, we were just able to sort of form more, you know, typical kinds of musical connections with people as people came and went. But yeah, the initial group was all Craigslist.
That's certainly
crazy.
Yeah, it's certainly weird because, you know, generally, certainly in my experience in playing bongos, you know, it's you only meet other musicians that you'll potentially play with by literally meeting them at venues or maybe an open mic type scenario, you know, a jam session. That's kind of generally how you meet people. Which is kind of nice that it's kind of in the real world as opposed to the digital world. It's kind of nice to, you know, that's the thing I love about playing music is that it is real. You know, so much of our lives are lived online or remotely, our dealings with people, that that's one of the great things about music is that if you want to play music, you've got to go out and meet people and you've got to get up on stage and you've got to actually do it.
You know, I went through a long phase where I was just doing stuff on the computer, and I wasn't real happy with a lot of what I was doing. Mm. And I was realizing that, you know, as more and more music gets digitized and as more people have access to the technology, just the whole idea of real human beings playing acoustic instruments and interacting in real time in a room seem to be getting rare, and so I was really kind of missing that, and that was part of what inspired this group. And on that topic, I don't know if you're able to notice this, and I don't know sort of what people listen for when they listen to records, but the vast majority of what you're hearing on that record is five or six people together at one time in one room.
That's amazing.
We added a few instruments later, but what you're hearing is largely a live group of people in one room together.
So. And that's how you get that original sound. I mean, that really is. Because, you know, playing in a band is... I remember the first time I played in a band, I remember saying to a friend of mine, I said, this is kind of a bit like being on a football team. you know the guys and you have a personal relationship with them. And, you know, you'll look at a guy as you're about to come in on something, you know, and it's a silent communication. Very often it's real relationships. And I think you can really hear that in real music.
Oh, absolutely. And when you've been playing with the same people for a long time, you can almost anticipate what people are going to do. And then sometimes you have these really fortuitous moments where just something unexpected will completely come together at the same time, just because there was almost like a telepathic thing going on.
I think you can create great music. Yeah, you can, you know, create great music the other way, you know, putting bits and pieces together, but it's always going to miss that little edge. And I think that's, you know, the difference between greatness and you know, hey, yeah, good album or great album. You know?
Yeah.
How many tracks are originals on the album?
So there's 13. Yeah, there's 13 tracks on the album, and I wrote 9 of them. And then there's 2 Les Baxter tunes, and then a couple of standards on there: Moonlight in Vermont and Invitation. And I did the arrangements on the tunes by other artists. So I pretty much arranged the album.
The track that is my favorite is, and I always love to tell people what my favorite is Revenge of the Pink Piranha.
It's been interesting talking to people about the favorites, but I'd kind of, as we were finishing it up, I'd kind of pegged that as one that I thought that people might really like, because it does kind of have that that Mancini-ish kind of bass line. And,
yeah, it does, yeah.
I was really kind of going for an homage to Henry Mancini with that tune.
Well,
so
you achieved that.
That's why I named it that.
We'll play that one in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the album cover. That is awesome.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, the cover is done by a Florida visual artist named Robert Jimenez. And you can find him online at his website, which is tikitower.com. He is also on Facebook. You can find him there. And he's really into a lot of mid-century pop culture kind of things.
Yeah.
In addition to tikis, there's kind of sci-fi, you know, monster kind of stuff, and superhero stuff. So really somebody who is kind of immersed in that whole you know, kind of U.S. post-war sort of commercial art kind of thing, yeah. And then he puts his own twists on it. But yeah, I saw that illustration. He had the illustration before the painting, actually, before the album, and I just saw that, and I said, "That's got to be the cover." And the painting itself was titled "Moonlight Offering," singular offering, and so. I thought, well, how perfect that is, because that and S and offerings, like, you know, the tunes are offerings.
Yeah. Well, and, to describe the album cover for those listening, you've got Stolen Idols in a kind of a bamboo type writing. Then you've got a tiki on a hill all by himself, and a big moon in the background. And I think I could see a volcano in the
There's a volcano there.
And the Moonlight Offerings is done in this, I'm not too sure what the name of it is. Like, it's sort of like a Chinese type writing, which
I looked all over for that font.
Is that
one
font?
Of the one of the very first Exotica albums ever. It was a set of 78s by Andre Castellanets, and it was called Exotic Music.
Yeah.
And if you Google the image, it's a black cover with a statue, like in a lotus kind of position, and Exotic Music is written in a font very, very similar to what we used. And I specifically wanted that. And I asked all of my friends who are graphic artists, as well as Robert, I'm like, do you know what this font is? And I was hearing, you know, it's probably it was probably a custom created font just for that cover. And the font that we found is almost like identical. It's almost like a more... kind of a more standardized and slightly less quirky version of what was on the album cover, but it's very, very similar.
It's a perfect album cover. It's simple. It's not too much, and it explains exactly what it is. So, congratulations on a marvelous album. Like I said, I've been listening to it over and over again, and I love it. And I think it's an album that I probably never will put down. But congratulations once again, Drew.
Well, thank you so much, Coop. Thank you for playing our music, and glad you like the record, and look forward to talking to you next time.
Revenge of the Pink Piranha on the Cocktail Nation, The Stolen Idols. Thank you.
www.cocktailnation.net.
This is Tommy Tremolo from Spy 5.
Hey, everybody, this is Marty Lush, and when I'm drinking, which is often, I'm listening to Cocktail Nation.
Bird flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, a new life for me. Feeling good. Hey there, fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, a new life for me. Feeling good. I can fly out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And
This old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, a new life for me. I feel good.
The Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper, feeling good with Bobby Darin there. Now, I've got some interesting stories I've just put up on the website over the last week or so. Habits from the past that we should bring back. You'll love this story over on the News from Across the World tab of the website. Also, decorating 60s style as well, so check that out online, cocktailnation.net. Here's James Spencer, Lady of the Evening.
Thank you. said goodbye. In the evening when lights are low, I'm so lonesome I could cry. 'Cause there's nobody who cares about me. I'm just a soul who's blue as can be. When I get that mood indigo, I could lay me down and die.
Donation for ultraswank.net, Linda Lawson and Mood Indigo. Now, here's a blog that I wrote just recently about stopping being a digital nerd. I couldn't think of any other way to say it, really. People, I think these days, become a bunch of keyboard jockey nerds who never leave the house. Social media has ruined live music and the entertainment scene that once flourished in most cities across the globe. Recently, I was looking at some old pictures of dance halls and nightclubs that were filled to the brim with partygoers back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, actually even as far back as the 1920s. The band was pumping, people were having a ball. But these days, the only people you're going to find out in the city are people under the age of 25. Now of an evening, people are shut in with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They don't socialize anymore in the real world. Now their nightclub is to be digital. To be frank, I think this is sad and nerdy. And yes, for the record, I do get the fact that I publish extensively through all of these mediums. But my goal in talking about this on this week's show and on the blog is to say, you know, you need to get out and enjoy this wonderful big world. It's a place that is worth experiencing. We can all enjoy our digital entertainment, but you know what? There are people to meet, places to see, experiences to be enjoyed. But instead, a lot of us are staying safely tucked away on our lounges with the TV playing the latest reality TV show that nobody cares about. I think television still thinks it's getting good ratings and all is good, but I think that's their false numbers. It's playing, but nobody's watching anymore. They've simply gotten used to turning it on for the noise. Personally, if I'm working on a book or a radio show, I like to turn on one of my favourite internet radio stations for some background noise, or to put on one of my cherished albums. I find that far more relaxing and enjoyable, and certainly far less bracing than some of the trash that's on the box right now. And things besides music suffer, like sport, for example. Sure, there are some big events that pull in some big crowds, but local sport struggles to get numbers just in participation. Just the other day, I was chatting to my tennis coach. He was telling me how hard it is to get people out on the tennis court to hit some balls in the local competition. When I was growing up, the local tennis scene, there were always people out and about playing. They were fit, healthy, had a thriving social life. Sadly, not the case today. Music venues struggle to get people to come out and see world-class music. Here in Sydney, we've got fantastic venues. Some of the best musicians in the country, but they're not working. We've got the largest number of actors and playhouses, and yet they're not working. Those who are employed in these industries really struggle to make a buck. And I put it all down to laziness and fear. For many, it's just easier to throw on some sweatpants and park themselves in the lounge. Get out today, enjoy life, meet the opposite sex in the real world, stop using things like internet dating, and that horrible pickup device for mass murderers, psychopaths, and sex addicts. It's called Tinder. It's downright dangerous. In fact, a girl actually died in Australia just recently using this particular app. Life is grand. It was meant to be lived in the real world. where you need to learn social graces or suffer the pain of getting your nose punched in. People talk constantly about trolls and internet bullying. This exists because there are no social graces in the digital world. You just behave any way you want. You can't do that on the street. Put the iPad down, throw on your best cat clothes, and make the scene, baby. You'll be surprised how fun it really is when you live in an analog world. Time for a look at the world of swank now, thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. I'd certainly love to hear from you if you've got a gig coming up. You can submit it to the website, and hopefully we'll get people out and about enjoying themselves. Otto's Grotto, every single Thursday over at Forbidden Island, Alameda. New jazz and Latin beats with DJ Baz over in Azul in Palm Springs at the Star Bar, 639 Southeast Morrison. Every first Saturday, it's DJ Drew Groove. Jennifer Keith, she's going to be coming to Australia very soon. October, in fact, for her Australian tour. She's playing the Jazz Tracks Festival in Catalina Casino, Catalina Island. Also over at the Carpenter Performing Centre in Long Beach, California. In September, September 6, Tikiaki Orchestra are playing at Don the Beachcomber. Just a couple of gigs to check out, and we've got plenty more of them online simply by heading over to my website, cocktailnation.net. Ixtahule now, Dengue Fever. Cocktail Nation with John Barry on Her Majesty's Service. A couple of spy tracks there with Layla Schifrin as well. Mission Impossible. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking about Vince Guaraldi. I've got a wonderful author by the name of Derek Bang who's going to be joining me to talk about this man's life. So join me next week on the Cocktail Nation. Here's Al Kiola, Experiment in Terror. Stay here.
I don't know.